Heavenly Father, today we put on the full armor to protect us against attack. We put on the belt of truth to protect against lies and deception. We put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts from the temptations. We put the gospel of peace on our feet to walk in your light, peace, and freedom with the Holy Spirit. We rebuke anxious thoughts. We take up your shield of faith for protection to block and destroy all the darts and threats thrown at us by the enemy. We put on the helmet of salvation to cover our minds and thoughts, reminding us that we are children of a mighty King. We are forgiven, set free, saved by the blood of Jesus. We take up the sword of the Spirit, your living word, that has the power to demolish strongholds and is sharper than any double-edged sword. We come to you, Lord, in prayer daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's up, you guys? Welcome to The Imagination. I'm your host, Emma, and today we have another special first on the podcast featuring a topic I've gotten so many requests over the past couple years to cover: targeted individuals. The subject of targeted individuals, aka TIs, has been a topic I've been wanting to cover for some time, and despite all the TIs I've met over the last couple years, I haven't found someone who is ready to publicly speak out until now. Introducing targeted individual, survivor, woman of God, mother, warrior, educator, and someone who is taking a stand to stand up against weaponized abuse targeted at TIs, Tracy. I met Tracy on social media after getting a tip from former guest Jack Pendergrass from Maximus Disclosure that she may be contacting me. Shout out to Jack. And after I connected with Tracy, I knew she was the one who God chose to send my way to answer my prayer of covering this harrowing topic. Tracy's story shines a spotlight on a sector of the survivor community that is often left in the shadows and largely neglected. Organized government-sanctioned abuse using electromagnetic frequencies and other invisible weapons intended to torture the targeted individual. Unlike other abuses that are done by humans whom a victim could potentially identify, TIs never get to see their abusers and have no way of holding someone accountable or finding out where their torture is even stemming from. Frequencies are invisible and sophisticated enough to use remotely, and many survivors of this abuse are labeled as crazy or insane for trying to have their abuse justified through the traditional Western medicine model. Frequencies, as we know, have the power to heal, and at the flip of a coin, they can also be used to destroy. Tracy's story showcases the dark side of frequencies and the malicious and horrific intent by authorities to remotely torture and abuse targeted individuals with invisible weapons. Tracy recently debuted part of her story on the Basement Hangout podcast, which was a huge step for her. And on this week's episode, Tracy is choosing to tell her full story from start to finish with never before heard information. Tracy aims to be a voice for all TIs and to showcase the power and role our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ played in her journey and in her healing. I'm thrilled Tracy is choosing this platform to tell all, and I ask all of you to give Tracy the utmost respect by giving her your full attention. You may even want to get a notebook because you're going to learn a lot today. I know I have already, and you are going to as well. And as you'll see, you don't have to be born into a bloodline family to be chosen for this kind of torture and abuse. If it happened to Tracy, it can happen to any of us. It's up to us to make the unconscious conscious and to empower ourselves with knowledge of the unseen, unheard, and unspoken. The most inspiring part of Tracy's story is the part about how her abusers thought they were destroying her when really they were actually planting a seed that grew into its resiliency to weather any storm. Little did they know how powerful this little seed would become. So you guys, without further ado, please help me in welcoming today voice for the voiceless, TI, selfless advocate, educator, overcomer, and authority on all things frequency, the one, the only, Tracy. Tracy, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you, Emma. Wow. We've only been, I'm humbled. Thank you. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
It's such an honor to have you on. You know, this is such a big topic to tackle, and it's not as safe. I should say it's hard for TIs to have that safety in their lives or even the capability to talk about it because they're constantly being targeted 24/7 or tortured, you know, and I really appreciate you bringing this topic to the table and giving a voice to all these people, because like I said, I've met a lot of TIs just privately in the background podcasting, and none of them have been in a safe enough place to come speak out. So that just shows, you know, the horrors that are involved with this type of torture and really how unknown it is by the general public. So I really appreciate you being here with me today.
Thank you. And with that, I just want to say that I, because of that very reason that, you probably have, like you said, spoken to a lot of TIs and they don't feel ready to come forward. I feel a huge sense of responsibility to speak for them on their behalf. So I want to mention that, I'm going to share this information and then I'm not going to talk about it again. I'm not going to have any more interviews. I want to make it really, clear up front that I'm not telling this story for sympathy. I don't want that. I'm telling it because I'm not the only one. I'm only one person. I want people to understand that there are more than 300,000 people all over this country that are being targeted, who are all reporting similar experiences. So as I go through this, I want people to also understand that this is a program, that there are people spread out that don't know each other, that've never spoken to each other, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different demographics, different stories, but they're all saying the same things. So when I go through this, I want to make sure people understand that I'm speaking for the TI community, not Trixie, And the only way to do that is to share my experience. And it's going to, I feel vulnerable doing it, but it needs to be done. So
I appreciate you being here. It is a huge responsibility. Everybody that comes on the show, I know, just carries this heavy, responsibility on their shoulders, and none of you deserved it. That's really the worst part about it. None of you asked to be public speakers on behalf of the worst things that happen in your life. And yet you're still taking that opportunity to be that, because that selflessness in you knows how many other people are going through it that would love some type of an opportunity to have their voice heard and might not ever get that opportunity. So I appreciate you being vulnerable and for being here, Tracy. You're just incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. And that's another thing, a lot of TI, or I would say the majority of targeted individuals don't even know why they're targeted. Some of it's because of bloodline. Some of it is, dissonance or advocates or who were too loud, or some of it is just random for research. And that is a fact. So, I'll just say this and then I'll get started into the story. But so it's known that, I'll talk about that later. Let me just go ahead and get started. So, all right. So in 2000, I grew up on the East Coast, and in 2000, I moved to Colorado. Okay. For a job. And, in 2003 is when I adopted my son, as a single mom. I adopted him from Kazakhstan, when he was 13 months old. He is a gate kid. So having tested as H gate, in the first grade, and consistently tested in the 99th percentile on all standardized testing all throughout his scholastic career, without ever really lifting a finger, he's always right out of the gate. So in 2009, I accepted a job in Southern California. I moved to Culver City, California, and we became very close with the couple that we were renting from at the time. We were like family. The husband, I'll call him Paul. He worked for his brother's company, Next G Networks, which is 5G, 5G DAS, distributed antenna system planning and distribution. And Paul's scope of responsibility was with the universities across the country. So he developed, built, and launched Next G's university program, today known as RINGS, which is Resilient and Intelligent Next G Systems. So fast forward to 2011, Paul encouraged me to try online dating. And that's when I met Tony. And we married 6 weeks later, becoming an instant family of four. Tony had full custody of Adrian, who was 15 at the time, and my son was 9. The way our marriage ended, it ended as quickly and oddly as it began. So, and I'll get to that in a minute, but it was challenging, raising two boys 6 years apart in a blended family, but we made it work. We had a really good life, very much in love. And, we had a really good life. In 2013, we returned to Colorado, this time as a family of four. We came back to Colorado to lower our housing expenses and to save to buy a home. And almost immediately, a group of guys in the aerospace industry befriended my husband via a church group. One of them provided the venue and office space for my son to continue with the STEM program he was in at the time. And in 2014, Adrian finished high school in Colorado and later returned to Southern California to continue his education. And that's around the time that we'll call Matt came into Tony's life. So Matt has an extensive background in research, biological and chemical engineering, and renewable energy. He joined a new men's group through our church that Tony had created. And then December 2015, we purchased our home. And then 2 months later, on February 29th, 2016, Adrian, my stepson, was killed in a freak single car rollover accident in Tracy, California. 3 minutes after midnight, 8 years to the day that his dad signed and gave him his Bible.
Did you say Tracy, California?
Yeah, and there's more to that. 8 years to the day that his dad signed and gave him his Bible. And we know this because when we went to his apartment to retrieve his belongings, everything was gone that morning because his friends and his biological mom, they allegedly took his things for whatever reason, but the only thing they left behind was his Bible. And when we were walking to the car, we opened up the inside and saw that it was, you know, there's a couple more things, odd circumstances around Adrian's death that we later discovered that we can come back to. But I'll just go ahead and say it. So for the next couple months after he passed, my husband and I were pondering on his death and what happened. And you always want to know everything. When there's a tragic accident like that, you always want to know like every single last bit of detail. And so for the next 5 weeks, we were walking around trying to put the pieces together. He was on the phone with California Highway Patrol. I was walking around the house saying, I wish I had a t-shirt of his, you know, that I could hold and wear that smelled like him, make me feel close to him. I'd say that all the time. I wish I had a t-shirt of Adrian's. I wish I had a t-shirt of Adrian. Well, we were planning a trip to go back to the scene of the accident so we could plan a cross there and visit and get more details from California Highway Patrol. And Tony was on the phone with them and he asked them, do you have Adrian's driver's license? I'd like to have it. And they said, no, when there's a fatality involved, we confiscate. We keep the driver's license. So anyway, fast forward to the first week of April, about 6 weeks later, we arranged with CHP to fly back out there and they were going to take us to the scene. And we went there, we put the cross down, we walked around, you know, we saw the IV bag, we saw the skid marks, we saw, you know, the remnants of the accident. And we were getting ready to turn around and walk away. And I looked down and there's one of Adrian's t-shirts. And then we were like, oh my gosh, it's a sign from God, you know, wow, this is incredible. And we go to get in the, Tony and I looked at each other. We're like, you ready to go? He's like, yeah. So we go to turn around to leave and Tony looks down and there's Adrian's driver's license. So those are just some circumstances around Adrian's, you know, passing that I wanted to bring up. All right. So we returned to Colorado and then 2 weeks later is when this case surfaced. So there was a woman. I was watching the news and I learned of a wife and a mother of three young girls had been killed in a church early that morning in Texas, allegedly by someone dressed in SWAT gear. The case became an internet sensation overnight. You know, I didn't know anything about Facebook groups at the time, but they were popping up all over the place. Theories were running wild, accusations were flying. It was chaotic. And that went on for years. And I felt right into it. It was a distraction for the grief that we were experiencing in our own home at the time, you know, and we still did all the right things. We attended group counseling and for the grief and we sought other resources. But this case was a distraction in the midst of the grief that we didn't, you know, I didn't really know how to process in our own home. Adrian's death, you know, it affected each of us differently. And this case became my go-to at the time when I didn't really, you know how to process it. So, and I was also determined that the public was being deceived regarding the circumstances around her death And so I leveraged various platforms to raise awareness around that. Because I remember, you know, all that we did to get to every little minute detail about Adrian's death, I kept thinking about her girls. This woman has three daughters, and, you know, for her mom to pass the way she did, I was like, I was motivated. I wanted them to know what happened to their mom. And so anyway, all right. So I'll talk a little bit about Braden, you know, so parallel to all of that, the victim advocacy and all of that, we had a normal life. You know, we both worked from home. Tony and I both worked from home. We were involved with our church. I served in the children's ministry. Braden was involved with youth group. Tony served in various capacities. Plus he had this men's group that he had. And so with Braden, you know, we had some difficulty with Braden in school. It was difficult to keep him engaged and stimulated in the classroom. I mean, it seems every year we were once again meeting with the school administrators in search of creative solutions, you know, including grade advancement, which they would never honor. We had him involved in everything under the sun with robotic competitions, STEM programs, first Lego League, mock trial, battle of the books, all the things. And he volunteered for reading programs, mentoring programs, even developed and pitched a youth advisory board to the local town hall. He never really cared for sports, but, you know, we wanted him to try everything at least once. So he did karate for a while and played soccer, football, baseball, track and all that. But just couldn't get him to get excited about engaging in the classroom, you know, always complaining of being bored, getting in trouble for reading his own books instead of the school books. And so we had him in public schools. We tried a charter school. We homeschooled, even sent him to military school. And, but ultimately made the decision, unfortunately, to pull him, his senior year under the premise that he'd sign up for the Navy. The Navy was, aggressively pursuing him at that time as well. So we'll fast forward to, late 2017, 18. And that's when we'll, refer to Bob, when Bob came into Tony's life. And I'm going to share my screen if I can.
Yeah.
Real quick. So Bob, Lockheed Martin, I just want to show, so when I say Bob came into our life, into Tony's life, he joined Matt. So it was Matt and Bob. Matt, as you can see, you know, Department of Chemical and Biological Engineering. You can see his credentials, you know, some of the publication research papers that he's written, as well as nanotechnology for optics, microelectronics, biomedical apps, renewable energy. And then down here, I found this little piece of information right here at the bottom left, electromagnetic pulse, EMP, and high power magnetic weapons. I didn't want to put the link here because this is a paper that he actually wrote. And if I put the link here, it would reveal his identity, and I want to protect his identity, but I would be open, you know, I could share that offline. All right, so that's Matt. And then we have Bob, Lockheed Martin, synthetic aperture radar, optical images, remote sensing, and this will all become important here in a minute as I step through the story. But it's real important for me.
Matt and Bob met?
Yeah. All through this church group. So my husband had started a group through the church called Eliminate the Vice. And it was Tony, Matt, and Bob were the three consistent guys for years. And there were a couple, you know, one guy would pop in and out, a couple guys would pop in and out, never stay, but it was Matt, Bob, and Tony. For years leading up to the targeting. And they met once a week, every week, consistently until the last year prior to the targeting started. And they were meeting twice a week. And many of those meetings moved away from the church, and they were taking place at a rental house that Bob rented in the community. Bob was also a neighbor. So Lockheed Martin was a neighbor as well. All right. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Okay, so Bob lived in our neighborhood. He's a research scientist with Lockheed Martin. The three of them formed this group called Eliminate the Vice through our church. Tony was positioned as the leader of this group, mentoring primarily these two men through their struggle with vices. So I didn't think anything of it at the time, but looking back now, the dynamic was a little strange. You know, Tony, he didn't have anything in common with these high-ranking research scientist, engineer guys, you know. And it went on. I mean, it wasn't just about vices, you know. They looked to Tony for, you know, Bob with Lockheed Martin was reaching out to Tony for consolation on, you know, suicidal ideation. You know, reaching out to Tony, asking Tony if he would hold his gun for him, you know, because he felt like he was. So it's just, yeah, the circumstances, there was a lot going on behind the scenes. And again, I fully 100% trusted him and these guys and never had any reason to question it, anything.
Especially because they all met at church, right? So it's like, that seems innocent enough and random enough.
Right. And Bob, I mean, I met Michael once and I met Bob once. Bob came over, we invited him over for dinner. We actually broke bread together at my family dining room table. Yeah. So let's move on to 2019. And that's when things start to get really weird. But again, at this point, I still have no reason to question anything. Tony's relationship with Bob at Lockheed Martin changed that second year. They had been meeting, like I said, once a week and throughout 2018. Then it went to twice a week in 2019. And then their relationship just sort of evolved into what I only knew to refer to as an emotional relationship, especially towards the end. I was like, it's just weird. There's just something strange about it. And in January 2019, Tony, he had never done any yard work the entire time we were married, right? Very rarely. I mean, he maybe cut the grass or whatever, but the boys, you know, typically the ones that did the yard work. Okay. He didn't have an interest in that. Well, in January, he did some side work. He laid some rocks along the foundation of our house, just outside the window adjacent to his basement office. I hesitate saying this because I don't really want to be accusatory, but let me just finish. So he laid these rocks out, decorative rocks, like little white rocks along the foundation adjacent to his office. So his office was in the basement. Mine was on the top floor. Okay. So shortly after he did that, I started hearing what is called, I referred to as data. It sounds like there's data processing. There was some noise that sounded like data process, like a server room. And I've spent a lot of time in server rooms throughout my career to know what it sounds like. And it sounded like data. And it sounded like it was coming from that area, right? Shortly after that, the hacking of my devices and accounts began, right? Well, fast forward to November 2019. I was laid off suddenly, despite, you know, having bonuses at my career, you know, job and all of that. I was being laid off abruptly, no warning, allegedly due to a reduction in force. And I later learned that I was the only one. I was told at the time that there were more. I later learned I was the only one. Well, anyway, I went downstairs to tell Tony that morning that I had gotten laid off. And it was like he switched into something. Like, I'll never forget it. It was like he switched and he goes, okay, let's switch offices. And he immediately starts grabbing his stuff. In that moment, we had never talked about switching offices before, right? So he's grabbing his things. And I was like so submissive to him. I was like, oh, okay, you know, and I just go up and get my stuff and didn't ask any questions. And we start switching offices. That's just the way I was. And okay, so now I'm in the basement office, all right? Now I'm going to that's November 2019. Fast forward to January 3rd, 2020. We celebrated our wedding anniversary at a nice hotel downtown Denver. It was really nice, right? February 1st, 4 weeks later, while I'm on the computer in the basement office, frustrated over the hacking and my husband's lack of support, I kicked the door. 911 was called. Police came. I was arrested, went to jail, released 3 days later to the street with a restraining order preventing me from returning to the family home. Okay. February 9th, 5 days after that, while sitting in the basement office on that computer, I wasn't supposed to be there, but I was there. I was gathering some things, sitting at that computer in the basement office. I start to experience tingling in my fingers. I was referred to the ER. And that's when they did an EEG and an fMRI of my brain. And then the next day released me again to the street. So when I say, I only point out about the rocks laying on the side of the house, the basement being Tony's basement place of where he did everything for 5 years. And then all of a sudden, when I got laid off that morning, he said, let's switch offices. I switched offices. And so when we talk about frequencies, and I'm going to get into that in a minute, I'm going to show patterns, you know, to give people an idea of the power of frequencies. Frequencies can cause people, and I'm not making excuses for my behavior. I accept full responsibility for kicking the door, right? But that was out of character for anything that ever happened in our family. We didn't argue like that, right? And it just seemed like they were, I don't know, it just seems odd. So anyway, I get the EEG, fMRI. EEG is capturing brain waves, right? So, and fMRI is brain mapping and memory retrieval. So when I say EEG brain waves, it's essentially a person's DNA. No two people have the same, right? And that's how you can, in the whole world of the universe and frequencies, that's your unique identifier. Okay. And that's how they're able to target you. Once they have your EEG, you're finished. So this is when Tony started dropping. So again, I'm staying in a hotel because I'm not permitted to stay at the house. And Tony starts dropping off snacks at the hotel. I forgot a piece. When I got out of jail, Tony was a different person. I mean, I'm not kidding. I was married to the most gentle, kind, humble, God-fearing caregiver you'd ever want to do life with for 8 years. Okay. And when I got out of jail after spending 3 days, he was an absolute monster. It was like Jesus's best friend versus Lucifer. I'm not kidding. And that's the analogy that I always use to describe it. I'm like, and I thought at this point that he was threatened or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, cause I'm thinking it's victim advocacy. So I'm thinking somebody did something to him to make him behave this way. Well, anyway, I'm staying at the hotels. And this is when Tony starts dropping off snacks at the hotel. Rice Krispie treats, brownies, a filet dinner from the grill. He'd come to the door to drop it off. And then I'd reach out for affection and he'd back up against the wall. Okay. Like don't, you know what I mean? So meanwhile, the house is going up for sale. Divorce is in motion. Tony's trading in the car, preparing to return to California. Okay. Family court system. It begins using the divorce as a tool to further break me down with one order, letter, and motion filing after another, liquidated my assets, proceeds from the sale of the home went primarily to tax debt. The criminal court system is using the criminal mischief charge to justify a restraining order, keeping me separated from my family, yet confined to the state of Colorado and on probation with a deferred sentence that would drop as long as I met the conditions of probation, submit to a mental health evaluation for kicking a door. So, February 9th. Okay. Let me just, go back. So February 1st, I kicked the door, went to jail for 3 days. February 9th, I had the EEG fMRI. Fast forward to April 9th. My husband leaves Colorado and returns to California. Okay. Unknown devices start showing up on our Wi-Fi router in our home. April 19th, 9 days later, my son turns 18 and we're separated. And that's when the frequency overload is just full blown. May 8th, 3 weeks later, I closed on the sale of our home. May 9th, the gang stalking went into full gear, kicked off with a red light blinking in my hotel room. So the significance is May 8th, we closed on the sale of the home. May 9th, I'm officially, you know, in these hotels, nowhere to go, can't leave the state. You know, 11, 12 o'clock at night, I hear a crash in the hotel room next to me. And I see a blinking light on the ceiling, on the floor, on the wall, you know, like a cat toy. And so what did I do? I'm terrified. I called the police. Well, you can imagine that didn't go over real well, right? That's when I realized the police were not going to be there to help me. And I needed to not call the police. Okay. So May 9th. So May 28th, after weeks of heavy gang stalking, I went to the ER for respite and they admitted me and placed me on a 72-hour hold. May 29th, the next day, while I'm on a 72-hour hold, my attorney proceeded with the status hearing for my divorce without my permission, at which time the judge assigned a guardian ad litem because of my job status and homelessness, canceled the second status hearing of the divorce, leaving me with no opportunity to face the judge. I tried to fire my attorney. My judge wouldn't allow it. And so now I'm going to get into the brainwave thing. Okay. I want to show my screen again real quick because I'm getting ready to get into the targeting.
Could you, I did like a very brief and probably naive overview of what a TI is. Would you mind giving your definition or maybe a better definition of what a TI is or how you would explain it to somebody? And then let's dive into, you know, what they experience and in this next part of your story.
Yeah. A targeted individual, they can, a targeted individual is somebody who has been placed on a list. Okay. And, this is, there's a list, a national terrorist watch list. And if somebody meets certain criteria, which I don't have any visibility into what that criteria is, but if somebody meets certain criteria, and a lot of it is subjective, I'm told, right? In other words, if you piss somebody off, excuse me, you can end up on this list. And it's basically, once you're on that list, you, so there, it's like a coordinated effort. There's a database that all of the fusion centers, law enforcement across the country have access to this database. And there is a, it's a, like a coordinated effort to target this person in the worst possible way. And I'm going to give you a really great overview of the type of thing that a targeted individual experiences. But, you know, after 9/11, the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, was formed. And under the guise of international terrorism, and when there was none, there when there was no international terrorist threat, it turned domestic, right? And so from there, the fusion centers were formed. And so there's, like I said, there's a lot of coordination between the fusion centers and law enforcement across the country. It's not just, community policing is involved in that as well. So there's a lot of, you know, I know I'm not doing a good job of describing it, but
you're doing great.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to show, am I viewing my screen? Are you viewing my screen?
I cannot see it right now.
Okay. Here's the patents.
Oh, there we go.
So just to give an example, I'm just going to, when I talked about EEG, I'm going to show you these two patents, just these two. Can you, did it pop up on the patent? Or do I need to read?
You might have to bring up the separate window.
All right. Before I go there, I want to show the volume of patents that are out, you know, with regards to frequency, things, right? But let me stop sharing and show this one. Okay. All right. So this one is communication system and method, including brainwave analysis and or use of brain activity. Okay. Again, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but here's the patent, right? So it's, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to say, so a system and method for enabling human beings to communicate by way of their monitored brain activity, which is the EEG. The brain activity of an individual is monitored and transmitted to a remote location by satellite, right? At the remote location, the monitored brain activity is compared with pre-recorded normalized brain activity. You know, so anyway, when you go down in here, you can see a method of communicating, compromising the steps. Basically, once they have your brain, they're tapped into your brain, it's over. You know, they have control over you. That's one example. Let me, and I can provide the links to the patent after. But here's another one. Monitor and control brain state of an individual via pulsed magnetic fields. Hold on. Right? Monitor and control the brain state of an individual via pulsed magnetic fields. Allow information to be remotely conveyed to subject via electromagnetic waves. So just to put things in perspective, sorry, I know I'm bouncing around, but this is really important. So come back to Bob. I'm sorry, come back to Matt. Look what Matt's into. Electromagnetic pulse, EMP, and high-powered magnetic weapons, right? And I just found this last night. And remember, Matt came into Tony's life in 2015, almost 2 years before that case came to surface. I was always told that I was being targeted because of victim advocacy. I'm not so sure about that now. All right. So they have my EEG. They have my fMRI, which is brain mapping, memory retrieval. All right. So now I'm going to get into the targeting. I'm going to go through it really quickly, right? So it starts with things like I'm receiving messages from fake profiles with threats of remote rape. And yes, women can be raped remotely and are raped remotely via this technology. Another person reaches out to me via a fake profile and describing things that they wanted to do to me sexually that align precisely with one of my first intimate encounters with my husband almost 10 years earlier. How did they know? And I'm talking in precise detail. And it wasn't my husband. My husband would never do anything like that. It was this as if that this person was there in the room, you know? Terrified and not knowing why I'm being targeted, I thought it might have something to do with my son's adoption. I had maintained contact with his birth mom over the years, and she had recently reached out to me asking if I had changed cities. So the next morning, obviously it makes me scared. You're paranoid. You're getting blasted with frequencies, you know, whatever. So here I'm thinking, oh my gosh, his mom is, you know, coming for him. You know, his birth mom's coming for him. Well, the next morning, I'm walking through the hotel lobby, crying my eyes out, terrified, scraping up pennies to get another room for the night, you know, deciding, am I going to eat a cheeseburger or am I going to sleep, you know, with a pillow? And a Colorado State police officer who I was friends with at the time, was a friend on my friends list on Facebook, showed up in the hotel looking for an Asian female fugitive. He comes running up to me. Tracy, you remember me? And I didn't remember him right away. And he told me his name. Oh, we're looking for a female, you know, fugitive. And I'm bawling and he's not even recognizing that. And he goes, we'll be back. We'll be back. And he never came back. So that's when I learned about the technology, I was like, that was intentional. He did that on purpose. You know what I mean? It was all part of it. They can read what's going on. And I know it sounds crazy, but I promise it's true. Okay. So I'm going to get into the rest. I start receiving hate messages on the navigation system of my car, continuing hacking of devices and accounts, losing ability to reconnect, video and audio system file access, errors displayed on my laptop, messing with my car alarm system, my windows and the trunk, leaving a pen on my windshield. Every morning when I'd go out to my car, there would be a pen on my windshield, same pen, same spot. Didn't matter what hotel I stayed in, that pen was always there, letting me know you're being watched, you know? You can't call the police with this stuff. You just got to keep it in and keep going. My phone would flash, definition of home when my card bounced at the hotel counter and I couldn't find a hotel to stay in. Home, the place where one lives permanently, especially as a member of a family or household. My phone alarm triggered the camera to flash in my eyes, taking my picture and turning the brightness up to 100%, continuing to take my picture with each text and phone call, sending text to my phone at 4 a.m. And I click on it and the camera flash following with the song playing, Your Sex is on Fire. Destroyed all of my online platforms. Fear of using my bank account, I resorted to money cards, but they accessed and used those as well. Created folders on my computer that didn't come from me to scare me. One created a folder named after my son's naval commanding officer. My son was 17 at the time. They did it for no other reason than to intimidate me. Put email and chat logs named after my husband, called it Tony in the documents folder for reasons I don't understand. Placed a file on my computer that listed what looked like hundreds of, if not thousands of names with social security numbers on them. Intimidation tactics in hotel, like sitting at the computer, And the manager comes in at 9 a.m, flinging open the door. Oh, I'm so sorry, wrong room. You know, just instilling, you know, trauma. This is all going on at the same time, all of it. I was sitting in the hotel lobby at midnight, and there was a guy that came through the hotel lobby with the shirt Arlington Fire Department on it. And many people were speculating that somebody from Arlington Fire Department was involved in that woman's, you know, murder. Restaurants, you know, you go to sit down at Waffle House, for example. I don't eat at Waffle House, but I mean, I did then. And I'm sit down, and you sit down, and the phone rings, and they hang up the phone immediately, and dishes start flying. They come up to your table, they spill orange juice. You know, the community is involved in this as well. They're compensated for it. Meanwhile, I'd get a flight out of Denver to get away. I'd get to the airport and receive a message asking where I was going. You know, from a stranger on my Facebook Messenger saying, where are you going? Same people doing street theater, Men in Black scenarios on the streets of Denver, even at the airport, are doing street theater at a hotel in Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati Hotel. That happened in Cincinnati. And the next morning I received a knock on my hotel door and was faced with three deputies who were there to escort me off the property because someone called the hotel and said I had escaped a mental institution. Several episodes where I went unconscious twice while driving my car. First time, I didn't know what state I was in. Another time, while sitting in a hotel lobby, I woke up to something installing on my laptop. Trying to secure stable housing and making sure my basic needs are met. They intercept things like ability to receive my unemployment funds by messing with my credit report, unable to ID verify. Intercepted my ability to stay in an Airbnb with messages that I needed to stay at a hotel only so they can harass me, because targeted individuals know that when you don't have secure housing, that's when they come for you. I mean, that's all intentional. Craigslist was intercepted once, and I ended up responding to an ad, and it turned out he was a Department of Homeland Security employee. I'm not kidding. And to go into how they did it, how this stuff happens, it just sounds ridiculous, but just, I wouldn't put it here, you know, if knowing it's ridiculous, if this stuff wasn't really true. Flight purchases twice, changing the communication email, causing me to miss flights and lose money. So that's just sort of, again, all of that is just happening all at once. And then the UAVs, satellites, everywhere I go. Everywhere. It didn't matter. I was in Denver. I was in Dallas. I was in Chicago. I was in Costa Rica, Florida, Kentucky, everywhere. You know, those satellites are above my Airbnb. So by August, my divorce was final. And then September, I was reunited with my son after being separated for 6 months. By the time we were reunited, he was completely radicalized. Spewing, you know, things that just weren't, they were just totally out of character for him, you know, 6 months of separation. And, October, same. Okay. So, and then October, he and I are staying in a, Airbnb together, and the same devices that were showing up in our home router 6 months earlier, a couple towns over, are now showing up on the router of the Airbnb. And I'll show that in a minute. Yeah. Waking up every day to my tires are almost flat, needing to put more air in my tires. So by this time, my son is with me. He and I are sharing a bed in an Airbnb, and he is now being harassed by law enforcement. So I decided I needed to take him to Ohio. So we left Colorado and I took him to Ohio for safety reasons. And then we ended up getting separated again. But I think that pretty much just covers the overall gist of the targeting program.
Could you talk about when you say that you're essentially being bombarded with frequencies, for somebody that's never experienced that, what is that like on your body and on just in general, like what is that process like? What does it feel like? And like, what does it do to a human body?
Yeah. I when it was at its peak, when I was heavily, heavily targeted, when all of this was happening, your face gets really, really flushed. Like it looks after you've got done, been working out, you know, because your body is heating up, severe, intense, ringing in your ears, and in your head. Paranoia, extreme, ridiculous paranoia, fear. I remember telling my mom that I felt like they were trying to get me to do something that I wouldn't normally do. And I remember, in July of 2020, there was a big, forest fire in the area too, or I'm sorry, not a forest fire. It was a Front Range fire that spread all throughout Boulder County, and ashes and everything flying everywhere and being bombarded with all these frequencies. It was just like something like, apocalypse or something, you know, and like, it just felt like, I don't know how to describe it. And I didn't feel like I was the only one. I know this sounds strange, but staying in those hotels, I crossed paths with other people that I sort of felt like we were in similar situations, women too. But I don't know. I'm speculating. Anyway, your heart races, you're anxious, anxiety, I would clench my teeth, you know, I would clench my teeth a lot. Hard to sleep. You can't sleep. Just energy, you know, energy. I thought it was 5G. And I thought, you know, because that was, you know, 5G, that's November of 2019 is when 5G started, you know, coming out and with COVID and all. So I thought that there was a connection with that. And because of that, I was driving all over the country trying to seek respite from it. In January of 2021, I was in Missouri, and then I went back to Colorado. I stayed in an EMF research institute for a while in a Faraday cage. I slept in a Faraday cage, and that didn't help. I rented I just went everywhere. I went in, you know, Southern California, or I'm sorry, Southern South Carolina, Florida, Costa Rica. Oh, I went to Costa Rica because Costa Rica didn't have 5G. And I thought, oh, if I go there, then, you know, I'll be good. Well, no, that didn't work out. And then, so then I came back to Illinois. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And so if it's not 5G, what types of frequencies have you speculated they may be using?
I have no idea, but what I can say is that my symptoms have evolved over the course of this. So it started out really intense. So in the very beginning, so in 2020, in around April, May of 2020, and it went all the way through May, June of 2021. It was really, really, really intense. But then it sort of tapered off and evolved. I don't know how to describe it. That's also when my detox journey began too. So I started to detox and soaking and sweating and doing some of that. But I don't know that anybody can distinguish the difference. So we have the electromagnetic frequencies, and then we have electrical. So I have grounding equipment all throughout my apartment, because I thought that I was dealing with frequencies from my devices. Like I would try to work and I felt like I was getting blasted by my big monitors. So I put everything on grounding pads, you know, and I put little grounding magnets on like this, on not just like my phone, but like all my computer equipment and everything. I put all these grounding magnets on. I have a grounding pillow that I sleep on. I have a grounding mat that I sleep on. So there's electrical frequencies, but then there's electromagnetic, and there's quite a few. I'm not sure, but I don't know. I do know that TIs, and this happened to me, I believe it happened to me when I was being targeted on the street, that there are hand devices that can be used that can target target people. It's my understanding you can go to, you know, at Home Depot and buy something that can trigger or assault others with electromagnetic. I don't know much about that, but people can, you know, be targeted or hit with the frequencies off of towers. I think a lot of it too, and this is why the detoxing helped me. A lot of it is what you're exposed to. So we're all exposed to toxins and stuff, heavy metals in our environment, which sort of makes you like a magnet, you know, to those things. And I don't know if I ingested something, you know, like I said, back when I was staying in the hotel and my husband was bringing stuff for me. I know that sounds ridiculous. I'm not trying to be accusatory, but I can say when I got to Arkansas and I went to go to my hairdresser for the first time, she noticed that I had my hair was, I had clean new growth from like my root down to like right here, but from here down was really dirty. And she's like, have you tried this detox shampoo? And I was like, no, that's kind of weird that you'd say that, because she didn't know anything about me. And she said, yeah, it looks like you could have been exposed to something. So I don't know if there was something I ingested or what. And which takes me to my slides. Can I go through those real quick? And okay, hold on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's hard about it, right? Because it is invisible warfare. And so, like you said a couple of times, it sounds ridiculous because it is, you know, it's designed that way. So people think that this just is blasphemy and that it could never happen and that this is just some weird conspiracy, you know, and it's something that we're not educated on either. We're constantly, just in general, even if you're not targeted, we're around all these frequencies. And I have no doubt in my mind that they're unhealthy just for people to be around, you know, Wi-Fi and all the different, you know, artificial frequencies that exist now everywhere. And it's so important that we understand this, because it's really easy to write this off. And it's simply because we don't have the understanding that you do. And if we did, we would all be horrified, you know, just that they're able to pick random people and do these atrocities to them without their consent, without letting, you know, their foot off the gas, and just having it be so incredibly organized. Like you said, they get the community involved and they get affiliations with people that you're close to involved. They use this to ruin your life in every possible way.
And, you know, to that end, I will say, and again, I don't say this disrespectfully, but my husband, absolutely, you know, I don't think, call it Stockholm syndrome or whatever. Maybe I'm just naive, but he did life with these people, you know. I don't know if he was brainwashed or if he consciously participated, but to your point, they do. They turn people that, you know, your inside family, they separate you and they get in the middle and divide. And that's why TIs are all isolated. You know, they're all of them. It's very, very rare that you find a TI that is still in a relationship or has a roommate or married or any of that.
And talk about how they go after your technology too. So even if, say, you do get ahead and you're able to use your phone and, you know, put stuff on the internet or try to reach out to people or look for other TIs, it's like they try to sabotage any effort too at you being able to connect with anybody, especially your loved ones. But it's like they destroy all your evidence. They can hack your computer. They can change things. They can attack you on your computer by sending messages and things like that to make you even fear going on it. It's just, it's unbelievable, but this is the type of technology that exists that they don't tell us about.
That's right. And it's been around for years. Like that patent that I just showed you, I think it was like 95, you know, I mean, can you imagine what the technology is like today? All right. So again, just, here's Matt and Bob, right? So that, so Bob came in, the Lockheed Martin came into the picture 2017, early 2018, right? So this is a rash, a mysterious rash that showed up all over my body, all over my face, my neck, my chest, my stomach, my legs, my arms, out of nowhere. This was November of 2017 and lasted for about 3 days and then it disappeared. And if you look at these pictures on, like, I've Googled, Google images and stuff, and it's consistent with somebody who has been overexposed to radiation. Okay. So none, these don't really flow together. I'm just going to give you some examples of what I experienced. So here's, I installed an EMF reader on my phone, which I know many say, well, that's not a true and accurate way to measure frequencies in your environment, which is true, right? However, I was using it long enough to capture a baseline, right? My baseline was averaged around 50, just eyeballing it, right? My baseline over the course of a period of time averaged around 50. Well, one night I was sitting, and it always seemed to happen in the, middle of the night, where I would get hit with something. And I was sitting in the hotel lobby, afraid to go to my room and go to sleep. And I'm sitting there, I'm actually talking to a friend, I'm on the computer. And all of a sudden I got hit on the left side of my head, a jolt on the left side of my head, and my reader went up to 1528. So that just gives you an idea. That's just an example. Around that same time, I was, not that same night, but around that same time period, I was laying in bed and I had my laptop about 12 inches from my face watching a video. And something hit it and it sparked and it caused this skid mark on my monitor screen here. It actually burned. So that's a burn in my monitor. And then it caused a dent on the top of my laptop and the bottom of my laptop, asymmetrical. So something sparked and hit, 12 inches from my face. Okay. A moment ago, I was talking about the routers, the Wi-Fi routers. So this one here on top, this is April 9th, of 2020. And you see this right here, the MAC ID. A MAC ID is a unique identifier. Every electronic device has a unique identifier. No two electronic devices have the same one, right? So this wife, my program I ran at the time showed that this unknown device was on my router. And here's the MAC ID, which says it's a Quanta device. April 9th in Erie, Colorado. 6 months later, I'm in an Airbnb in Broomfield. That same device is hacking onto the Wi-Fi router. Okay. While there in that Airbnb, I'm getting things like this that are showing up on, if you go to attach, you go to a new place or Starbucks and you click on the bottom right hand corner of your screen to select a Wi-Fi connection. Okay. Well, that's an SSID. So if you look here in the middle of the screen where it says SSID, okay, they would use things that are personal to me to show up as Wi-Fi connections. Again, you're not thinking clearly when you're getting blasted with frequency, so you can't logically think about what's happening. But all I see is Brandy and DNM on my Wi-Fi list. So because I'm not thinking logically, I'm like, Brandy and DNM are involved in my targeting. Brandy is my stepson's birth mom in California. Right. This is how sick these people are. DNM is Tony's best friend's business. And here's how nobody knows that except for us. And it's because we wrote checks a year earlier to DNM. You see this? DNM Productions. How in the world did anybody...
Oh my gosh.
I mean, make that connection. So if you look at this too, at this grid, you see the latitude and longitude. This gives the exact location of where I was sitting at the time. So all of this was happening at the same time. Here's another one. Blue Sky, they're the ones that ordered the EEG that I had done in the hospital. I'm still sitting at that same location. See the GPS? 40.046 and 105. It's the same location. one same location I'm sitting at. And then there was NSA, there was Bible scripture verses, you know, asking God to give mercy on me, total control. It's going to be cold outside soon, you know, like you're homeless, it's going to be cold soon, you know, just the craziest psychological psyops, you know? So that was going on. All right. So now it's going to get even more interesting. Remember we talked about Matt and Bob and Matt with the EMPs and then Bob Lockheed Martin, synthetic aperture radar, right? Synthetic aperture radar, which is satellite UAVs. Okay. So I'm like, okay, I want to dig a little bit further into Bob. And then I found that he had a co-author on these publications that showed he was affiliated also with Lockheed Martin, but also Boulder Nonlinear Systems. So I'm like, Boulder Nonlinear Systems, what's that? What are they about? So that's when I come in here and I see the brain initiative, brain activity, the human brain project, right? 3D photo simulation, digital holography, right? So I'm like, well, that's interesting. Digging in a little bit more to Bob at Lockheed Martin, and I see that's what this guy does, right? So we have Matt, who has EMP weaponry, right? And then we have Bob at Lockheed Martin, who is creating technology that is used by Boulder Nonlinear Systems for the Brain Initiative. So then you just dig in, I'm almost done here, digging a little bit more. You know, I found brain mapping tied to synthetic aperture radar. Remember they had my fMRI, my brain mapping to create here. This article was 1995. They were doing 3D movies of the beating heart with synthetic aperture radar. Then I found this SAR with brain mapping, EEG, fMRI. DARPA, used by DARPA. And then I go back and I say, I remind you that I had the EEG and the fMRI, which were totally normal. And after I reversed engineered this and wanted to go back to the hospital to get a copy of my medical record disclosures, I have my records, but I want to know who had access to my records. So I wrote them for that. And here's their response to me. They basically said, no one has accessed your data inappropriately, which is what defined inappropriately, right?
Right.
And then your designated record set includes your reports. You know, you have a right to access these records and request an accounting of disclosures related to your EEG reports unless certain exceptions apply. There were no disclosures to any outside party regarding your EEG report that did not meet the exceptions described above. Exceptions, research. So, you know, that's a problem. And that's about all that I have, really. So at the end of the day, you know, for reasons that I always thought that it had to do with the case that I, you know, advocated for. I don't see how that can be possible with Matt coming into the picture in 2015. So who knows? For whatever reason, these guys have enough power to be able to send me to the ER, you know, to get my data, my DNA, so that they can literally, in every single way imaginable, destroy every single aspect. And again, it's not just me. This is happening to countless individuals across the country.
Oh my gosh, the extensive research that you've done to be able to put all this together, Tracy, all of that is so key. Look how seamlessly your story creates a puzzle, and there's all these little pieces that connect so tightly and perfectly together.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's hard to understand. I know it's a lot.
It is, but I think seeing that really helps paint the big picture, because just hearing it can be, I think, overwhelming for people to try to wrap their minds around. But seeing those examples and really painting that picture of how every piece connects, you know, it's like we were talking about earlier, it makes when you see the big picture and when you see these little details come together, all of a sudden this doesn't seem so crazy anymore. It's like, all right, that's one coincidence. No big, two coincidences, three, you know, how many coincidences does somebody need to see before they say, wait, something's not right here. There's something a little bit bigger than what meets the eye going on here. And there's a lot of people involved in it. Like, this is very, very organized. Right down to like changing, you know, not changing, but having these, you know, Wi-Fi words pop up that mean something to you potentially, you know, and that there are things that like DNM, I mean, come on.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's just so hard to, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, you know, what happened, but it, at the end of the day, it's just, it's unfathomable to me that, like these guys have kids, you know, they have kids. Bob has three sons. Matt has two little kids that they had while this was going on. Like how could human beings conspire to take down a family like that? And, you know, to take, I mean, I was a wife and a mother and, actively involved in my community and my church. And, yeah, I was, you know, pretty, isolated those last couple of years, you know? How could somebody like take a mom and put her on the street, you know, to chase her down like a wild animal, rip her from her, you know, I don't know. It's just unfathomable to me. I can't think like that. I just can't wrap my head around it.
Right. And for you had mentioned, you know, which I think is also a key point, that your husband at the time was literally different people in a very short span of time, like a completely different person. Do you think that they were controlling him with these frequencies, or what do you think is, because it almost seems like he was targeted too, right? If he was just this person living his life, met you, although it does seem kind of interesting how he met you, how you guys met, but it makes me wonder if he was like you and, you know, part of the, or unknowingly part of the organization, and they paired him with you, or if he knowingly went into it knowing that it was, you know, an arranged marriage in a sense.
I don't think so. He never wavered on his character ever. He would never, ever hurt me ever. He would never hurt me. And if he knew the things that I was going through, I actually reached out to him, you know, and tried, he just turned into a different person. It was almost like they pulled the empathy card from him. Like he had no ability to empathize. He had no empathy at all for what I was experiencing. And it's just so weird because again, he was the soft one in our family all those years. He was the caregiver, you know, for us. He was the one that took care of us. And, he was always so gentle. The man never raised his voice. He never, you know, he was 13 years sober too. And he was drinking as he was packing up the house to leave. When he was packing up the house to leave, it was as if he was leaving a roommate. It was as if he, you know, his lease was up and it was time for him to go. It was the most bizarre thing that you could possibly experience. And there are many things that I've wavered on in the last couple of years, but that's one thing I have never wavered on, is something happened to him. Let me tell you this. Bob, Lockheed Martin's wife at the time, they're now divorced. She also worked for Lockheed Martin at the time. Well, when I got out, I have never met her. I've never met her. And that's another thing that's weird. These guys, they were members of our church. So why did we never flip burgers on the grill on Sunday afternoon? Like, if they were meeting that frequently with Tony, why did they never come over and, you know, Bob did once, but anyway, when I got out of jail, his wife reached out to me, and she had been reaching out to me in like the week or two prior to me going to jail. She latched onto me and was very closely monitoring what was going on. But when I got out of jail, she said to me, she goes, "Hey, if you notice anything different about Tony, if you notice anything, him acting strange," she goes, "it could just be this book that Bob's been reading. It's called No More Mr. Nice Guy."
Oh my kidding.
Why? I'll never forget that. And it was true. I mean, anybody that knows me and was doing life with me at that time knows that that is just the one thing that I could not wrap my head around was his ability. And, you know, another thing is he kept saying when we were in the hotel, he would say things like, my head, something's wrong with my head. And he would also say things like, you and Braden already feel distant to me. Like just a couple weeks out, he'd say, "You guys already feel so different, distance to me." And then when he went to California, it wasn't just me. He disconnected from Braden too. He didn't maintain that relationship. It's just the most bizarre thing ever.
Wow. It almost seems like to some degree they were all controlled too by something. Like it sounds very similar to, you know, MK Ultra in a lot of ways, just with how organized this is and understanding that this is, you know, it's literally a form of mind control in the form of invisible weaponry.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. A lot of, you know, I'll just tell you one more story. And that was, as he was packing up to leave, and he was going to California and I was going south. I had just purchased a brand new car I mean, I didn't have hardly any miles on it or anything, had just had it for a few weeks. And before he's getting ready to leave, he goes, "Hey, I want to check your oil before you get on the road." I was like, "Okay, you've never checked my oil in the 8 years that we've been together, 9 years we've been together, but okay." And I thought, "Oh, he's just being nice, you know, whatever." So he gets under the hood of my car and he's under there for a very, very, very long time. And then he comes up, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes later, and he goes, "Oh, I can't check your oil. You're going to have to do it online." I'm like, "Okay, that's weird." He goes, "So when you get about 20 miles out, I want you to pull over into the gas station and, pull it up online and, you know, whatever." I'm like, "Okay." So I get about 20 miles out and I pull over and he calls me right away. And as soon as he's doing that, I can see a couple Bluetooth items registering on my navigation system. And he goes, "So did you pull over? Did you check your thing?" And I said, "No, but Tony, these Bluetooth things are showing up." "Oh, I can't talk about that right now." And he hangs up and so it's like we were pitted and playing, you know, he was pitted to play against me back then too. And he would never in his right mind do anything like that. He just wouldn't.
Oh my gosh. We know, like, I mean, they literally do use frequency in children in MKUltra programs and, you know, all different ages too. But we know that, you know, frequencies have a profound impact on our state of being, on our mind, and on the frequency that we, you know, that we have in our brain and our body, which is fascinating. And there was another connection that I made a note to tell you about that too. There was a monarch handler named Sturgill Simpson, and he was known in the community. He basically rebranded himself as Mr. Blue Skies.
Wow.
Yep. And he was a handler in the monarch program. And that's kind of, you know, if you see those words, always be alert for it. But I thought that was interesting whenever you said that, because it made me think of that.
That is very interesting. Well, I'll get it on the recording, his name. What's his name again?
Sturgill Simpson. I'll send you some information. But yeah, it's kind of interesting, the fascination, just how these different, and it's like this with all these stories, you know, you hear an SRA story or you hear an MKUltra story, you hear a human trafficking story. And even though the story might primarily be focused on that sector of abuse, there's crossovers to stories like yours and to stories like somebody else that had a whole different experience. And it's the layers that go into it too. And even the connections outside of the circles that you're in are so vast. And it's like, they try to tell you, I don't know, to me, it's like, they're trying to tell you who they are in a way.
Right. For sure. Yeah. And you know, MK Ultra, you know, the way they're doing things today, it doesn't align with the way they were doing it in the '40s, you know, but back in the '40s, they were leveraging pharmaceuticals, you know, to carry out some of that stuff. And that's why I've always, you know, without disrespecting Tony's privacy, you know, there were some things that were going on with pharmaceuticals at that time that, you know, I just wonder if they were able to get to him that way as well, because that's when that started happening in the beginning of 2019. And that's when things started to change with him. I thought it was just maybe, you know, some depression because of Adrian, and he had also recently lost his dad, and he had also actually he lost four people that were really close to him in like two and a half, three years time, back to back to back. Yeah. So I just always attributed it to maybe to that, but
yeah, 100%. And that's, you know, I even pray for the other people that were involved, because it sounds like to some degree they're being controlled too by a puppet above them and carrying out these, you know, these horrific things against people. And then, like you said, going home to their families at night, it's like, what type of psychopath is capable of doing that? Well, probably somebody who has abused their whole life and who is perpetuating it on other people now as an adult, you know. And a lot of these people are in these positions of power working for these companies. And I love that you did so much research on where they work in different parts of their life, because I think your example of how you were able to piece some of this together is really important for the TI community to see. Because I think that that's one of the hardest things, is when you're constantly being bombarded 24 hours a day and targeted and you feel like crap, you're paranoid, you have frequencies running through your body, you have all these, you know, mental and physical health side effects that you're dealing with from that, your family's being targeted, your friends, it's almost like you're in the state of fight or flight 24 hours a day. And that's a really hard place to try to allow your mind to see and plan for the future, because you're so stuck right now. So I think that that's something that a lot of TI struggle with, at least in my experience talking to them, is just not even knowing where to start because they're so bombarded. And I love how you were able to piece some of that together, because hopefully that can be a good guideline for people listening to say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to start researching, like, where does this random person in my life live? Like, how did I meet them? Who introduced me to that person? You know, what's this company that they work for involved with? And I think that that can be really reassuring to somebody that I do have some power. There is things that I can do, even though I'm frightened, even though I'm paranoid, even though I'm scared, even though I have all this stuff flying at me 24 hours a day, you know, I can still try to take charge of my life, whether it is through detoxes and health protocols, or whether it's through starting small with research, just looking at the things that are familiar around you and asking questions about them that maybe you didn't before. And I'd love for you to please talk about your detox and how you came up with it, and maybe explain, and maybe you were going to, where you are now, because you're in a very different spot than you were going through the worst part of the targeting. And you've turned a corner for yourself in a really amazing way that I think will also give hope to people. And I know not every protocol may be for everybody. I understand that. But I think, you know, the more we get people who share what does work for them, we're giving people tools to build an arsenal of things that they can go try, you know? And so things that you, that have worked for you may work really, really well for people. And I think even as a prevention, you know, people who aren't being targeted can take notes and say, gosh, if this could happen to her, it could happen to me. What are some things maybe I could keep in my toolbox or buy that I can keep in my home that could maybe protect me from, you know, these things happening to me?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, the important thing is to try to get as clean as we can on the inside, because we're exposed to so much, so many toxins in our environment, you know, in the air, in our food, you know, in hopefully we're drinking, you know, good water, clean water, but, you know, and so I think it's, and also, you know, we've learned over the years what that, you know, the food pyramid that we were taught to follow is not necessarily the, you know, and okay. So, yeah. And so I think at the end of the day, it's really important to clean all of that junk out that we've, that has accumulated over the years from us following the quote unquote wrong, protocol and replace that with good. You know, first of all, it starts with having a healthy gut, you know? So what I did was what they call it, cleaning your terrain. So I went through and I just went through a very, very intense detox protocol that consisted of, fasting, consisted of, sweating, you know, even if it's just walking, but it's basically, you know, just really walking, detox baths, infrared sauna. I did infrared sauna like 4 or 5 days a week, 157 degrees for 45 minutes. I did that for many, many, many months. But also, the frequency, you know, I talked about that. That was pretty consistent or pretty significant. Fasting, you know, I did multiple 3-day water fasts, and then I started doing a 5-day water fast. I'm telling you, once I did that, once I completed my first fast, I knew that I had something internally that I needed to get out of me. And but all of these things collectively worked together to get me to a better place. I still am no doubt connected to something. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. But it's nothing like it was before. It's not constant like it was before. And so I do some things to sort of offset my symptoms. Like I have a sound CD that David Case created, you know, that I sleep with at night, and it helps so I'm pretty much symptom free during the day since I started with this CD. And I can share that as well. But anyway, I just think it's really important. Anything that we consume, whether it be in our mouth and things that we're eating, things that we're reading, things that we're listening to, make sure that it's something that your body can use for good. And if your body can't take something that you're eating and consume it for good, we really shouldn't be consuming it, you know? So I did, you know, a lot of parasite cleansing as well. You know, I did, you know, binders are important. So when you're going through a detox protocol, it's really important to ingest or take things like activated charcoal or bentonite clay to like flush that out. So I have a whole list. I should probably like try to put a blog together or something that people can reference to help other people. But
yeah, that would be amazing to have something like that, just as, you know, and people can give you tips and you can create just kind of a database for people. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah. And I think also with TIs too, it's such a mind thing, you know, and I'm so blessed to have the job that I have and have the ability to work from home. And I had a lot of time during the day that, you know, that I could work on myself, but, getting out, you know, pulling yourself out of victim mentality and focusing on the dark. I know that's so hard to do. But we've got to stay focused in the light, you know? And that's just a really, really difficult thing to do. And it also starts with forgiving, you know, our perpetrators. You know, I know as hard as that is, I had to get to a place where I forgave them, because as I was continuing to, even and Tony, you know, regardless, because God knows what Tony's role was and all of that. And if Tony was, and I don't believe at all that Tony is aware of things that he did, but if Tony was involved in that, God's going to take care of that. You know, there isn't anything that I can do to here to for that. But you know, anytime I had to work for the longest time on training my mind that at the minute I start to focus on the dark or the enemy, you know, I had a little thing written on my board here at work, and I had to literally train myself. No, I'm focused on the healer. I'm not going to focus on the enemy. He's already stolen enough from me. And it's just consistently every day, every single day, suit of armor, you know, every day. And then eventually it gets easier and easier. Yeah. So I actually wrote a little, because I wrote a little message to Bob that maybe I could share. I pulled it up when you were talking a moment ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because it talks a little bit about how you were saying, you know, people that are involved in this, that they're influenced as well, whether it be by leadership or whatever.
Mind control, whatever it is.
For sure. And you're not the first person has said that to me, that's very knowledgeable of how these programs work, that has said that. So, all right. So here's what I said to him. I said, Bob, I hope this message finds you doing well. I want you to know that Braden and I forgive you. We have started praying together that one day soon you will realize the eternal consequences for your role in what happened to our family, if left unconfessed, and that you will seek forgiveness from the Lord. We're praying for your understanding that following a directive from leadership is still sin that won't be free from eternal consequences if left unconfessed. You would be far better off confessing, seeking forgiveness, and walking away from your career than carrying this into eternity. Psalm 84:10. I don't want that for you or for those you love. You see, sin of this magnitude is passed on to future generations. I pray that you don't allow anyone else to suffer because of your own transgressions. Please reflect on the legacy you're leaving and the downstream impact to humanity because of your contribution to the advancement of these technologies. None of it is from God. You can walk away, Bob. Take the time you'd be investing into evil and redirect it towards your boys. You won't regret it. I'm here for you if you ever want to walk through it. And then I said this in a second message. I said, I have met a lot of people as I've carefully navigated this process of discovery, several whistleblowers in similar position as yours, and a couple of them didn't even realize what they were contributing to until later. These men chose to walk away and speak out against this tyranny. You don't have to be that bold, nor would I recommend it, but my goodness, you're paving the way for future generations. Is this what you want to leave behind for your sons? And that's what I said to him.
And no response?
Nope.
That's beautiful. That is such a learning place, you know, in a controversial place in a sense, because it is, I've gotten slack on my channel for talking about humanizing abusers, but I don't think we can solve the problem without doing just that. I think if we are just, it's like you said, you know, frequency, if we're just filled with hate for everybody, we're no better. Like, we're on the same page as them. We're on the same frequency. We are right where they want us to be, you know, and where they don't want us to be is to be writing letters like that and saying, I forgive you and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to leave it up to God. He sees it. He knows. I'm going to move on from it, you know, and I'm here for you. My arms are open to you if you, you know, want to turn a corner like I did. That's how we solve this. That's how we come around and change the world one person at a time, is by humanizing this and seeing it for what it is. We live in a child abuse system perpetuated from the top down, generation after generation. You know, we know that after three generations, trauma is imprinted in our DNA, and it's been way more than three generations for most of our families, if not all of our families. And that's by design. And so by us carrying that with us, you know, being born into trauma of whatever kind, whether it's, you know, through lineage, through bloodline, whether it's just, you know, the trauma from the media generation after generation, you know, like, we're carrying the same frequencies as they are with that, you know, and we're never seeing it for what it is and saying, oh my gosh, these were innocent children, most likely, that never had a chance. They never got to consent to anything. They never got a choice to be a loving person or to be loved. It was just, you know, these really horrible things that happened to them and these horrible things that were said to them and mind control, you know? And I think this is how we come around as a society and say, what is this really that we're looking at? Is it going to be productive to just hate everybody and go take them all out with, you know, guillotines and all this stuff? Like, no, because then the next generations are just going to step in and do the same thing. Like, we don't solve anything by just trying to kill our way out of the problem, you know? And so I really appreciate that you offer that element, because I think empathy can be really hard, and I get it. You know, I have felt extreme anger and sadness and despair knowing that all of this happens. You know, I've had my fair share of breakdowns, and it's very heavy knowing that this stuff exists, but I don't want to carry the heaviness of hating everybody and wanting everybody, you know, to have this horrible demise. Like, I want to pray for everybody and hope that everybody comes and wants to be like us, that they want to come to this side, leave that all behind, and create a better world with us. And so I just want to thank you for being an example of that, because it's refreshing, and it's a very hard heart lesson to learn, to try to have empathy for the people that treat you the worst, and to be able to trust God Almighty with taking care of it and understanding that that's His duty and that it's not ours. Our duty is to be here and to serve our purpose, to love, to be who He created us to be a high frequency, you know, and to make the world better, and that we don't serve that purpose by carrying hate in our heart and by expressing it in all the ways that we've been pretty much mind controlled to do.
That's right. That's powerful. Yep. That's right. I think, that's power. I think a lot of TIs stay in that place though, because of the housing, you know, a lot of them, it's hard for them. Housing is once you secure housing, you know, then you're able to slowly recover, but it's like how a lot of, so anyway,
and I get it. Like, we should be mad, you know, like it's not, I'm not saying like, oh, just accept it. It's fine that this is happening. No, right. But if you said, when you find yourself going into that spot, cause that's what our bodies and our nervous system and our minds are going to want to do, is just sink to that low vibration and get mad, is to just say, okay, this doesn't feel good. This isn't productive. I'm going to practice a different way. I'm going to try to switch my state real quick, you know? And then every day it almost becomes a reverse habit. Then you start automatically thinking about these, you know, these other ways to look at things that benefit our mind and body a lot better. You know, we know even like negative thoughts can cause disease in our body. All that creates frequencies that are man-made. Like, we can create our own frequencies in our body that are toxic. You know, we don't even need the assistance of the government to do it, you know, but understanding that the government, on top of all the negative things that we create for ourselves and that are created through the, you know, manufactured reality we live in, you know, we should all be trying to say, how do I raise up to this higher frequency so I'm less of a candidate to be affected traumatically by these artificial frequencies that they're waging against all of us?
Yeah, that's powerful.
And so what would you say to any TIs, whether they're listening, whether they will hear this, what would be your words to somebody going through what you were right now?
Really, everything that we just said, I think again, the mind and training your mind to stay in the, you know, to stay in the light, try to steer away from the circumstances, or trying to figure out the who and the why behind it. I mean, yeah, I know I'm sitting here talking about who I believe, the who and the why, but I had to step away from that in order to get better. I had to. And because I told myself at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter the who or the why, it still is evil. You know, it's not from God. And once I got to that understanding or acceptance, I needed to, you know, it definitely helped me. And then, you know, there are some really powerful, Dan Duvall. I don't know if you've heard of Dan Duvall in Bride's Ministry, he has a great, book. It's called, Power or Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth. And he has a lot of them on his website as well. But staying in communion with God and his prayers are really powerful because they actually address the technology. And so I would encourage folks to go there and to reference that as well. But again, you got to fight the good fight and surround yourself with positive people, you know, and extend grace to those that don't understand. That's another thing. You know, I had to reach a point with my family, my mom, especially, you know, extending grace with her age, number one, you know, and her generation doesn't need to understand, you know, the complexities of the things that are happening today, but extend grace to the people that you love the most, that you desperately want to understand and grasp this, that can't and probably never will. And know that that's okay, you know? And then, you know, latch on to the people that you know, have your best interest, you know? Don't isolate. I know that's easier said than done, because I still struggle with that myself a lot. But try to find like-minded people that choose to be in the light and latch on to them. Yeah. In scripture. Oh my gosh. Scripture is really powerful. In your darkest hour, you know, God's word for sure. Those are the things, all the things.
But I just really appreciate you shining a light on this because you are the light, Tracy, you know, and you just gave so many people a voice. I think you said earlier, 300,000 people just in America. RTIs. That's just in one country. You know, those numbers are, you know, very similar in a way, just staggeringly, that you hear about human trafficking. Like, how are we letting this happen to our own people? And then we're dismissing them when they whistleblow. And how could it possibly be a coincidence that so many people all over the world have the same story, like you said? You know, we need to also, as a public, have compassion for people who are talking about hard things. You know, and I ask people listening that think that, you know, maybe this is unbelievable, or if you're having trouble wrapping your mind around it, to just try to put yourself in somebody's shoes. Why would somebody come out and so many people come out with the same things? Like, it doesn't benefit anybody. How does it benefit somebody to be living like that? You know, I'm sure you would have taken your old life any day over having to talk about this, you know? And so for anybody listening, ask why a brilliant, logical person like Tracy would come forth and say all this if this wasn't her truth and what she experienced, you know? So we need to also have empathy and allow ourselves to step into shoes that maybe are very uncomfortable for us or maybe are very unfamiliar, and just put on a very non-biased approach at just exploring what that might be like and how this could possibly be true, you know, and how so many people could be involved. We know it's true with satanic ritual abuse. We know that organized crime, and it's all organized, but we know how organized MKUltra is. We know how organized human trafficking is. Like, it's all organized. It all starts from the top down. It's all a pyramid of, you know, influential people all the way down to, you know, I would say the runners of it, you know, just the bottom layer. But all of it works together. And so we need to all be better at being empathetic on every angle and just exploring these ideas and being there for people who are going through a hard time, and not just dismissing it because it's uncomfortable or it's something we don't know enough about, or something that, you know, we saw before. And the first impression we got was, this is crazy. There's no way that this could be true. You know, so I really appreciate your logical approach in providing facts, providing all that evidence for us, all the work that you did to piece that timeline together. And all the thoughtful ways too that you were able to think to yourself, why could this be happening to me? You know, and trying to piece together what that might be, even if you don't know, even if you may not ever know, you have a bunch of tools that you can look at and a bunch of instances in your life that you can say, it might have been this or it might have been that. You know, and so hopefully my prayer for you is that you do get that closure to find out, and that you do, you know, get that peace in your life, and that you keep regaining everything that you lost. You know, you deserve the whole world, Tracy. And I'm so sorry that it was all taken from you. Is nothing that you deserved, you know, nothing anybody deserves. And I'm sorry for anybody listening who has experienced that, because it's literally a crime against humanity, you know, and you're so brave coming here and being vulnerable and sharing these really hard times in your life and doing it bravely and courageously and understanding the, you know, the weight of what you're saying and how many people that it represents. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on here. And it's so amazing to finally get to meet you and connect with you. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you. I feel so grateful for the opportunity. You've given me a gift, and I know that, you know, there's so many out there that are going through it. And at the end of the day, people just want to be heard. You know, people want to be validated and people want to be heard. So it's a selfless thing for you to open up yourself and, all the time that you, dedicate to giving people a platform to share their story. It's powerful. So I'm grateful. Thank you.
We do it together. You know, I couldn't do it without people like you. So I appreciate you coming on here. And is there anything else that we didn't cover that you want to go over, or anything else that you had in your notes that we didn't get to that you want to talk about?
No, I think what I could do is provide my email and a link to the protocol. And if people want to reference that, then yeah, I may continue to expand on it. And then if I decide to do a blog, I can always reference the blog in the same hyperlink. You know, maybe that's what God's calling me to do next. Now that the story is out, I can, like you said, focus on positive, you know, and I would be grateful to do that.
That'd be awesome. I think people would appreciate that too. And not even just TIs, you know, it'd be super valuable for them, but for people like me who want to learn, you know, this stuff's hard to find information on. Like TIs are really, really censored in this community too. I notice a lot of times their accounts get taken down, and maybe because, you know, their phones are constantly getting hacked or their computers are getting struck by electricity and things like that. You know, there's ways that they can tamper with it, but, you know, that would be a really good resource just for people to have somewhere to go when it's inconsistent trying to find this information elsewhere.
Yeah. Okay.
And so are you able to give your email if people want to reach out, or are you on social media? How could people maybe get a hold of you?
Yeah. So my email is God's Girl. So GODSGIRL at Tutanota. So that's TUTANOTA.com. The link, would you be able to embed the protocol link?
Yeah.
Okay. That's on my Gmail currently. So
perfect. So yeah. Yeah. I'll link all of that in the show notes. So for everybody listening, whether you're on Spotify or iTunes, BitChute, YouTube, wherever you're at, if you go in the show notes of the show, the links that I post, I always try to give a really thorough, space for the guests' information for you to connect, whether they have one way to connect or whether they have 30. I try to give a lot of space and list all of that. And it literally just pops up as a hyperlink, and you can go click it right from your phone, right in the show notes, and it'll open it up in your internet browser. So it's made really easy. So Tracy's email will be there, and you can either screenshot it and then go to your email on your computer and go type it in, or you can highlight it and go plug it into your email. But I'm going to give that to all of you. That way you guys can go connect with Tracy. If you are a TI, Tracy's an extremely valuable resource. As you heard, she's willing to just give her documents away for free and her time to devote to trying to help. So take advantage of that. Ask her questions. If you have a podcast and you want to know about frequencies or some of this technology, you know, connect with her. She's obviously more than happy to come talk about some of this stuff, you know, and frequency can also be used to heal. So she's awesome at talking about some of the ways that she's found to heal herself through, you know, these detox protocols. And that might be really valuable too for other people to hear. So please go support Tracy, you guys. Tracy, I'm so honored to have you on. This meant the world to me. And I'm so excited for people to hear your story and for your voice to get out there. And for everybody else listening, thank you so much for tuning in as always. God bless you. And we will see you next week.